8 o'clock, Jim and the Buckeye Boy. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line is your way to connect to the program. If you've got some thoughts about the divisional weekend, we'll preview Saturday's games coming up in just a couple minutes. Latest on the Broncos coaching search. Enjoyed talking with Corey Hitchcock, Palisade boys basketball coach. We have a couple of first-year, not first-year head coaches in their careers, but first-year head coaches here in the Valley with Corey out of Palisade and Jake Aguirre out at Fruita. And right now, Corey has the Bulldogs playing some really good basketball, beat a 10-win Eagle Valley team in league play after getting a win against a team that's always a perennial contender, power in the Western Slope League in Steamboat Springs. So, of course, you can catch all of our interviews. Usually have those posted by around 10:30 in the morning at our website. You can get the entire show at our website, theteam1340.com. But you can also get the individual interviews from the show at our Twitter feed, our Facebook page, and at our website, theteam1340.com. So make sure you check out all those interviews there. And the entire show, too, if you, for some reason, miss the entire show, you've got a chance to listen to it at our website, theteam1340.com. All right, so I've got some thoughts today, predictions on the NFL divisional games this weekend. Michael Malone talking about Nikola Jokic. Last night, Nikola Jokic was brilliant for the Nuggets. 49 points.
Mm-hmm.
He had 11 of those 49 points that came in overtime to allow Denver to get the win last night. Here's what Michael Malone had to say.
You tell me, if Nikola Jokic isn't the MVP, then who is? That guy can beat you with his passing, his scoring, his rebounding, and that last pass to Aaron not only wins a game, but gives him his 10th assist on the night.
What he said there about Nikola Jokic,
mm-hmm,
is the truth. He still is one of the best players in the entire NBA. And if he played anyplace else, he'd get more run, wouldn't he? He'd get a lot more love than what he gets.
Maybe. Probably.
Or is it just his game is very...
Is very much not what the NBA media likes to see. He's not a big-time three-point shooter. He's not throwing daggers from the corner like Steph Curry. He's not...
throwing down windmill dunks.
Physically dominating other players like LeBron James or Giannis. He's just so steady and always there every night that you don't really get a chance to appreciate what he does unless you watch them night in, night out.
And you look at the ESPN rating for players, Nikola Jokic is the number one rated player in the league.
Mm-hmm.
With Giannis Antetokounmpo number two, LeBron James is third, then Durant and Joel Embiid. I think it's part of where he is. I think there's truth to that.
Yeah.
The market that he plays in. And I do think that he's a more offensively talented, more versatile, mm-hmm, Tim Duncan. Right?
Yeah. No, you're right. He's leading the league in Basketball Reference player efficiency rating, win shares, offensive win shares per 38 minutes, box plus minus, offensive bucks plus minus, value over replacement. He's leading in all of those categories. And defensive rebound percentage. Let's not forget about that. The only player that's leading in more of those efficiency, or not even more, but in multiple, is Rudy Gobert. And you can see head-to-head how Nikola Jokic fares against Rudy Gobert. Barely slows him down.
Yeah, and this is a three-time defensive player of the year in the NBA.
Yeah.
And Rudy Gobert. And Nikola Jokic, he's a speed bump when he takes on Rudy Gobert. That he barely slows him down.
But the problem is you're going to get, well, he got his, so we're back now to Giannis or James Harden or Kevin Durant or Steph Curry. Nikola Jokic got his, and that story's over.
Right.
That's what you're going to run into trying to get Nikola back-to-back MVPs.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't, even though he certainly is strongly in that conversation.
And he should.
He should, but I bet you he doesn't. And so here, Nikola Jokic, of course, had the assist last night on the game winner. Mm-hmm. Aaron Gordon hits the three with 2.2 seconds left in overtime to beat the Clippers. Here's Nikola breaking down the game-winning play.
Yes, there is a time difference between the clock and they just gave me the ball, and I just wanted to like take the time and just to give them less time as possible. And then Coffey come to double team it. Will Barton pull in front of me. Jeff was in a dunker. What's the name? Monte was cutting from the slot. And he was on the nail, and he brought, I think, Terrence Mann, and AG was wide open in the corner.
James Earl Jones is out there trying to guard somebody?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I love it.
If you guard him, he will pass.
I love how Nikola talks about it. Like he's ordering something off a menu. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the egg rolls. And
yeah.
I like some tofu to go with that. And just another day at the office, right?
Right. Like it wasn't a gifted basketball play. It was just a day. It was a Wednesday.
It was a process. It was a process that he went through. Yeah. He broke it out. Well, I want to make sure they didn't have enough time. Blah, blah. And then he just finds Gordon.
To do.
Yeah.
You know, we were out of coffee, had to get more coffee. You know, had to use the paper towel for a coffee filter because they didn't order filters.
Right.
And, you know, they doubled on me and I kicked it out to him. And
Aaron hit the shot. Yeah, and then, we won the game.
It's my week for dishes, so we had to do that. And then Aaron hits the shot. Yeah. It sounded like a Wednesday.
And off my bag in the locker room, I had to go back and get it because I forgot to get my bag. And then I got to the car, and there was some ice on the window. Yeah, just very, very, not like it was that big of a deal.
Right.
And that's how he is. That's just how Nikola Jokic operates. So, got some thoughts on last night. Nikola Jokic, Michael Malone saying, come on, if he's not the MVP, then who is? Text or call us, 970-242-1340. And let's get into a preview of the divisional games coming up this Saturday, which we'll have on the Team Sports Network. And it starts out with Cincinnati coming off the win against the Las Vegas Raiders, taking on a well-rested Tennessee Titans team, your number one seed in the AFC. Now, the good news for Tennessee, Derrick Henry back at practice yesterday. Derrick Henry expected to get lots of carries, lots of opportunities this weekend. Fresh legs after being out for the last 2 months. Mm-hmm. What, week nine, correct, that he was out?
I think that was, I'm going to see when the last week he actually played was. I think it's week nine. November the 7th, so he's been out, about 2.5 months.
And so he's back, and for the Bengals, they have a problem because Larry Okeojobi on the defensive front is banged up. And he's out. He's not going to play. And so that is an issue in terms of their defense. And look, even when the Bengals, the Bengals run defense, which has not been horrific this year, it's not great when they face just everybody else. They've been giving up 4.4 yards per rush.
Yeah.
And now they have some guys that are out, most notably Larry Okeojobi, that definitely has an impact on their ability to limit what Derrick Henry could do. Now, the Bengals, their offensive line is going to have to protect Joe Burrow because that's the key to the game, right? It's Burrow getting the ball to Ja'Marr Chase. That's going to be the big key in this game for Cincinnati win. Titans were 25th against the pass this year, but they're 7th in sacks. So protection will be the key for the Bengals to come up with an upset. Here's Joe Burrow on the beginning of the playoffs. For just in the second year of his career, and this being the standard of where he thinks Cincinnati should be every single season.
I think the fans were very excited, but you know, I tried to downplay it and all that because this is how it's going to be from here on out. You know, this is a great win for us, but you know, this is the standard for you know the bare minimum every year going forward.
You like that confidence from Burrow? I do.
I might as well.
I'm like, well, this is what we expect. We expect to be a playoff team every year. We don't expect to be at home watching this thing. We expect to be part. We expect to be part of it.
The whole point is winning. You know, and setting the standard, setting the expectation of, Hey, you know what? Wild card round was great, but we expect to play at least division weekend right. every year. I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
I think the expectation. It should be.
Sure, and there's nothing cocky about that or arrogant. That's stating a fact.
It is. If you don't like him, then you're going to think it's cocky or arrogant, but that's because you don't like him.
I think that's what every quarterback, every player, this is where you expect to be at this time of the year. For him to say, gosh, we're just really lucky we made it, and this has been a nice ride, and whatever happens.
Really happy to be here, guys.
Yeah, I mean, there's one thing with Ben Roethlisberger, with the Steelers backing into the playoffs, and his final game of his career, we assume, of having, hey, let's just go out and have fun. That's a different scenario for a guy that is... been there, done that, won a Super Bowl, and knows it's over with. Or at least he gives you the impression that it's over with. Joe Burrow's got a hell of a lot of football in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't play for the Steelers, a team that has had tremendous success throughout the course of that franchise's history. Nobody's won more Super Bowls than the Steelers. Cincinnati's a different story, and you need that kind of confidence from him. So you also have Derrick Henry, as I mentioned. He's back, was at practice yesterday, expected to play a lot this weekend. He suffered the Jones fracture. It's a break of the base of the fifth metatarsal in his foot. They had to put a plate in his foot, and so that's what's been sidelining him since week 9. Derrick Henry appreciates the game a whole lot more after being on the sidelines.
I appreciate his game a lot more when you're away from it, being away from your teammates, just having that camaraderie and, you know, going to work every day and going out to play on Sundays each and every week. Definitely miss that, and you know, just happy to be back. I'm appreciative to everybody that helped me get to be able to come back and contribute during the playoffs, and I'm just happy to be back playing football.
All right. Derrick Henry, as you mentioned, they ran the ball even more when Derrick Henry was out than with Derrick Henry in there. But he's a guy that just – he's the kind of guy that when he runs, he goes faster. He's the kind of guy that as the game wears on, he wears you down.
Here's a guy who when he runs, he goes faster.
Thank you. God bless your soul, John Madden.
So the keys to the game is to score more points and tackle.
He is a guy that just wears people down.
Yeah.
He's a battering ram. And he's got fresh legs. It's been out for the 2.5 months with that injury, as I referenced. So it'll be interesting to see with a Cincinnati defense that is missing some key pieces in terms of stopping the run, how effective they can be. And it's going to be about protecting Joe Burrow and trying to find a way to slow down the run. You're not going to stop Tennessee from running the football, whether it's Derrick Henry or is it Foreman's the other back? I'm trying to remember.
I believe so.
Yeah, and so I mean, you're going to have a hard time stopping them, but you've got to find a way to slow them down. And we'll see if Cincinnati can do that on Saturday pregame at 2:00, kickoff at 2:30 on the team.
Both teams are top five. In run defense, in yards allowed per game. Cincinnati at fifth, Tennessee at second. The problem is Cincinnati at yards per carry, not great.
4.4.
Right in the middle of the pack. Because when you're ahead, you don't run as much. So when you go just based on run yardage, it's going to look good. Because teams are down 2 scores, they're not going to run the ball a ton. Yards per carry, that's a different story, and that's where Derrick Henry... just as a runner can take advantage of some things. If Cincinnati doesn't get out to a 2-score, a 17-point lead, then Derrick Henry is still a major factor in this game.
All right, so the second game is your NFC divisional matchup with the number one seed, Green Bay, taking on San Francisco. The 49ers, of course, coming off the big win that they had in Dallas against the Cowboys on a Grande Wildcard weekend. 49ers very impressive in that game, particularly the job they did defensively against Dak Prescott and company. Now, if the Packers mentioned they had a week off, they also get Randall Cobb back, by the way. Randall Cobb had core muscle surgery, and he was expected to be maybe back if they get to the Super Bowl. Randall Cobb's going to be back this weekend, potentially. Could see some time on the field, and we know that he's one of Aaron Rodgers' favorite targets, and so expect Randall Cobb back. Also, the left tackle, former Buff, David Bakhtiari, back as well. And so some additions for the Green Bay Packers that certainly could be very beneficial to Aaron Rodgers. Now, as far as the San Francisco 49ers, we've talked Talked a lot in hour one about George Kittle, one of the best tight ends in the league, but one of many great pieces in that the chess master Kyle Shanahan has at his disposal on the offensive side. And Kittle says that they can run plays against all different kinds of looks, so whatever Green Bay throws at them, they'll usually feel like they have an answer.
We have plays that can attack any look. You know, that's something that we've had to figure out. You know, we've had games where, like, start of 2020, first game of the season, Cardinals came out with six down linemen. And that was something that we had not expected. And, you know, but at this point in our season in the last 2 years, we've kind of gotten every single look, and teams seem to play us with every single look.
All right, so there's George Kittle. As far as the Packers, Deebo Samuel is a challenge for that defense in Green Bay. Running the football, catching the football, put him in the slot, put him to the numbers, put him in the backfield, toss it to him. And it's not, like we've talked about with Deebo Samuel, it's not a case where it's, okay, we're going to run the cute little jet sweep with him or something like that. They put him in the eye and let him run the football.
And he's a weapon back there, for sure.
No doubt about it. And linebacker Kenny Clark for the Packers talking about the challenge of slowing down the Swiss Army knife that is Deebo Samuel.
He's explosive. Man, he can catch and do all the things at receiver, but, you know, when they put him in the backfield, I mean, he's a running back. And, you know, he's a tough guy to tackle, and he's explosive, and they use him in all kind of different ways. So, yeah, man, he's a tough guy.
All right, so there's Kenny Clark of the Packers. Niners at the Packers. Packers favored by 6 in that game. And as far as the Bengals-Titans game, Titans a 3.5-point favorite at home in that one. Packers and the Niners, 6:15 kickoff. So the first game, that will be on CBS. Second game will be on Fox. You can hear both games on the team, starting with the pregame at 2 o'clock on Saturday. And tomorrow, preview the divisional games for Sunday. All right, very quickly to the Broncos coaching search. We mentioned that they talked with Jonathan Gannon yesterday, who is the defensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles, 39-year-old defensive coordinator that was on the staff at Minnesota when George Payton was part of the front office in Minnesota. And Gannon's worked as a scout, quality control coach, positional coach, and coordinator. They also talked with New England Patriots inside linebackers coach Gerard Mayo as well yesterday. So next up, L.A. Rams offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connell, Cincinnati offensive coordinator Brian Callahan, who also has ties to the Broncos with being an assistant coach in Denver several years ago. Also, Kansas City offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, the former CU Buff great, on the list of coaches the Broncos will talk to. I did catch this Buckeye over on The Athletic today. They had NFL coaching openings. What are the most and least appealing jobs? Who are the most intriguing candidates? And we'll save that to next hour.
Okay.
And get some of the thoughts of people like Stephen Holder, Lindsey Jones, who used to write for the Denver Post, on some of the more attractive jobs, less attractive jobs, and also their views on some of the coaching candidates as well, coming up next hour. All right, text or call the show today, 970-242-1340. And time to talk a little Fruit of Parks and Rec. We have Mackenzie and Nicole with us today. Ladies, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it. Well, what's going on with Fruit of Parks and Rec? What's shaking out in the west end of the valley right now?
Yeah, we're really excited for our 15th annual Sweetheart Race. It's going to be a 5K or a 10K, so up to you which length you want to decide. And we actually have a new route this year, so it will be along the Riverfront Trail. So get excited for the beautiful views and our really cool shirts this year. Hoodie t-shirts.
Cool hoodie t-shirts, a picturesque route this year as well. Very nice.
And if you want to register, you can head to our website and go to the Parks and Rec Department and then onto the special events, and you'll see a little tab for the Sweetheart Run. So that's the place to head to.
Mackenzie, registration fee, what's that look like for this?
So if you want to do the 5K, it's $25, and the 10K is $30. If you want to register the day of, those rates will be a little different. So if you can, sign up ahead of time, but we're always happy to have people show up the morning of as well.
Yeah, save a little money. You can spend that on candy or flowers for that sweetheart. So you can save a little money doing that. So, Nicole, what do you have in regard to Fruit of Parks and Rec?
So we've also got a lot of programs that are open right now for registration, art and dance classes. We've got a new program called Car Camping and Backpacking, like 101. That's coming up in March. As always, our youth soccer. And we've got a basketball camp over spring break. So lots going on. program-wise at Parks and Rec.
So I like this. You have something for Valentine's Day. You have something for when spring break rolls around. So you can start thinking about that if you're a parent. Hey, what's my kid going to do when we're on spring break? And you got that covered with the basketball camp. So
yes.
I obviously got some time here to get registered for that. Is there a deadline when it comes to that camp in particular?
There are deadlines, but you can register all the way up until for that lower price, same as the Sweetheart.
All right, very good. Anything else that we want to talk about with Fruita Parks and Rec?
And as always, our community center is open as well.
Okay.
Swimming in the winter is the best thing to do. So come on down to the rec center for some swimming over the weekend, during the weekdays for lap swim.
And imagine classes for those that maybe are adults that don't know how to swim, that you can certainly help those folks out too.
Absolutely.
All right, very good. Tell Mark we said hi, by the way.
Will
Mr. Mancuso out there at Fruita. All right, Mackenzie and Nicole from Fruita Parks and Rec. Go to the website once again for that.
It is fruita.org/parksrec.
All right, very good. 8:21, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network online at theteam1340.com.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa.
The Team.
Welcome back in, 8:24. Jim and the Buckeye Boy. Got some predictions on the divisional round this weekend. Nuggets and Avalanche both get wins last night. It's Michael Malone, right? Nikola Jokic doesn't get enough run, considering he's the league MVP.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's right, of course.
So you got some thoughts on that today. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. So looks like you're a Broncos season ticket holder, that they're going to raise prices for some of the non-club seats for this season. The Broncos' unofficial mouthpiece, Mike Kliss of KUSA, reporting that 58% of those seats will cost more for the coming season, while 39% will be unchanged. 3% will see a decrease.
Ooh. A little cheaper to go watch the Broncos.
Well, depending on where you sit.
That's true.
3% of those seats will be decreased. And look, you're thinking, okay, five straight losing seasons, not sniffing the playoffs. How are you selling this to people that there is going to be an increase in some of these seats? But Kliss says that the team is still trying to make up for the lost revenue because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, they've had five straight losing seasons, but they also lost an awful lot of money with no fans or limited fans in the seats for the 2020 season.
Yeah, and we knew this was going to happen. They were talking about how much money they lost and all of that with not having any fans in the building for almost an entire season. Yeah, that's going to be needing to be made up somewhere.
Yeah, it's something.
They're not going to pay that out of their own pocket.
That's how business works, though, right? I mean, when you lose money because of something like a pandemic, you're going to find a way to make up that money, make up that lost revenue. Couple of other NFL notes. Mike McCarthy, who's in a lot of hot water right now after the Cowboys lost to the Niners.
There are lobsters that aren't in as much hot water as Mike.
Exactly. Mike McCarthy said, he was on the Fan in Dallas, our number one focus moving forward is the penalties. It's way too many. You look at the pre-snap, there's no excuse for it. That's been a focus all year. You know, the thing I struggle with as a head coach doing this now for a number of years is I have comparables over a 15-year period, and this team here is clearly one of the better teams I've coached as far as their mental preparation and their mental execution. Our mental grades don't coincide with the penalties because they usually go together at something we'll take a very hard look at. That's assuming, Mike, you still have a job.
Yeah.
Which, as of the moment, looks like he's probably... I think if they would have whacked him, they would have already whacked him.
Right.
And unless they've already got somebody that they're talking to that they clearly feel like that's the guy.
And if you caught yesterday's DP show with Ed Werder, Cowboys reporter for the mothership, I'm in your head, Werder. They didn't actually talk about that, which was kind of a missed opportunity. But they did talk about the Cowboys and their penalties. There were four games this year in the NFL that had 14 penalties called on one team. The Cowboys had half of them.
Yikes.
They were the only team penalized 14 times twice. And once was in a game they lost by 7 points. A playoff game. Which, that paired with the lack of understanding about how to run the last that last play, that makes me think that Mike McCarthy is straight up lying about their mental acuity, because
yeah,
there's not a lot there. A lot of half of those were pre-snap penalties. That's not just, you know, effort and getting to a receiver a little bit too early, or a ticky-tack PI, or a ticky-tack, you know, roughing the passer penalty. That's lining up in the neutral zone twice. That's false starts at home. Looking at you, Lyle Collins.
There's no excuse for that.
It's, well, they don't need to run a silent count at home. They almost had to. There's a lot of red in that house.
And there was, and that's become kind of a thing, right? With the Cowboys, even when they're good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were a lot of Niner fans at AT&T at Jarrah World.
Yeah,
at that game. All right, we're going to talk about also Jim Harbaugh coming up. I have that for four down territory.
Yay.
You might be disappointed with what might happen with Jim Harbaugh.
I'm probably going to be sad.
You, as an Ohio State fan,
yeah,
could end up being very disappointed. I do want to mention this. This is Michigan related. I watched the piece on Real Sports a while back involving the man that was their the physician for the athletic department, Dr. Robert Anderson, who allegedly sexually abused, they say, over a thousand different student athletes during his time at Michigan. And so the University of Michigan has agreed to pay for a $490 million settlement with more than 1,000 people who say they were sexually assaulted by the former doctor at the school. He was there for 4 decades. And I mean, just if you watch the piece on Real Sports, it's unbelievable how he got away with this. Asking healthy football players, healthy wrestlers, to undergo prostate exams every single time that they would go and visit him. Every single time. We're talking 19, 20-year-old athletes.
Kids, essentially.
Kids. And look, anybody that knows about how men's health goes, you don't do that every single time you see your doctor. Guys would go in for a shoulder problem, and he would request that he do that procedure. And the mental trauma and the anguish that he caused so many young people, so many student athletes, and how the University of Michigan administration turned a deaf ear to this and a blind eye to this for a very long time. Blind eye first. Guys like Bo Schembechler, I know he's beloved.
Yeah.
At Ann Arbor, but there's a little bit of Joe Paterno stuff with this. They knew what Robert Anderson, at least there were a lot of guys that came forward, student athletes, who said, hey, he's doing things that he should not be doing. We're being sexually assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
And guys like Schembechler didn't do anything about it. It's terrible to have somebody, a guy that is held in similar esteem to Joe Paterno.
Mm-hmm.
You hear these things, it's like...
Now, more in common than there should be.
Way more in common than there should be.
And it's not Michigan exclusive.
No, it's not. Michigan State.
With Larry Nassar... The same type of situation happened with a physician assistant person at Ohio State, and the wrestling coach really swept that under the rug and made everybody not look at it and forget about it, and he's now in Congress. It's happened probably way more than we even care to think about. With as many of these stories that are out, how many are not getting reported? How many got swept under the rug and left there? How many got, you know, turned away and never seen the light of day?
The University of Southern Cal, $852 million settlement. Yeah. 700 women accused the school's physician there of sexual abuse. I mean, you're right. It's not all happening at Ann Arbor, and it's not happening anyplace else.
It's not exclusive to Michigan, right?
Right.
And that's, you know, and you mentioned the U.S., 700 women.
Yes.
How can you do a medical checkup that doesn't have assault in it when there are 700 different women?
And this piece of garbage, Robert Anderson, to do it for 4 decades, he was there.
Mm-hmm.
For 4 decades. And there were reports all the time to athletic department heads, to the university, to the administration of the university, about this guy is doing things that he should not be doing. Criminal activity, sexual assault, and there's something needs to be done about it, and they didn't do anything for decades. And so now it's a $490 million settlement, and I think they're putting away a portion, I think it was like $50 or maybe $100 million for future claims. These are for just the claims that are
already been.
And everybody has to, I think it has to be 98% of the of those folks that have been, that are involved in this particular situation, have to agree to the settlement.
Mm-hmm.
That have been impacted by this.
At what point do you start scraping names off buildings with this sort of thing? This is, you've mentioned 4 decades. That's 40 years at least. That's, I didn't know that. That's not that. To have this going on for 40 years when you have men in their 30s to men all the way in their 60s saying, this happened to me.
Yeah, he started there in 66.
You can't go with the, well, this didn't make it to blank level.
Well, Michigan hired a firm to look into this, an independent investigative group. And the report that they issued stated that there were numerous missed opportunities to stop this guy during his 37-year career. And among them in that group is Bo Schembechler.
Yeah.
Who had his players go to him and say, hey, Anderson's doing things that he should not be doing. We're being physically, we're being sexually violated.
Mm-hmm.
And they did nothing to stop it.
Because that would stop the winning of football games. That would slow down the winning.
Because what, Anderson would turn a blind eye to, hey, you know, our running back's got a bit of a problem. Bum knee. Need him to play, though.
Yeah, he's got to be out there.
Shoot him up and get him out there. And if that's the deal that Bo Schembechler had with a guy like Dr. Robert Anderson, shame on him.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm going to turn a blind eye to your activities because you're going to do something for me. Quid pro quo.
Yes.
Don't say it fast. You do something for me, I'll do something for you.
Yep.
And that could have been the case here. I mean, I don't know. That's pure speculation on my part. The report, though, indicated that Schembechler did know what was going on.
How could you not?
I just don't. Yeah, and like, we're not. I know you don't like Michigan. I'm no Michigan fan. We're not trying
this
to.
This has nothing to do with that for me.
It could be Northwestern. It could be. I don't care. It could be like University of Colorado.
The same
I don't care.
Thing is currently going on. Not currently, but the same stink is over some programs at Ohio State for the same situation. Mainly the men's wrestling program.
Yeah. The job of a coach, one of his many responsibilities, mm-hmm. is to protect his players from people like Dr. Jekyll, Dr. Anderson, to protect them when they're saying, hey, something's going on here that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like you said, when do names start to come out, buildings, things like that? This is a case where clearly those that have been honored for the 4 decades that he did there,
mm-hmm.
whatever honors he received, buildings named after him, departments, where that needs to go away and go away right now.
Yeah.
I just, and the one I always hate, and I heard this about Joe Paterno, Well, it was a different era back then. They viewed things differently back then. They didn't view it in the lens we do now.
It was still being reported.
Wrong is wrong. I'm sorry. Wrong is wrong. Just because they're guys that grew up in the 40s and 50s and 60s didn't make that okay back then.
Well, you
just, I hear that all the time. Well, Shem Beckler, just for a guy from a different era. Right. Joe Paterno, just a guy from a different era.
Even if,
horse crap.
Even if you want to take that take, which is wrong. That is a wrong and bad and dumb take. Think of, you know, the players. Players in the 60s and 70s were so much tougher. You know, dislocated finger, not a big deal. Hold on, let me get to my point here.
No, you obviously interrupted.
No big deal. You know, break a leg, Willis Reed, go out and play. For them to be violated enough to report this, because men of certain ages, not prone to ask for help, not prone to say, hey, something bad happened to me and I'm not sure how to handle it.
And the shame of
that. When they're reporting this from the 70s and the 80s, how bad must it have been? If you want to take that take of it was a different era. Yeah, it was. Think of it from the other side of, you know, there now people hesitate to report. And they went to the football coach knowing that if this goes against me, I'm not going to be on this team anymore, and I still have to say something.
I could lose my scholarship. I could be done. Because I'm going to bring up something that's uncomfortable for my head coach to have to hear.
Yeah.
That may not make him very happy.
And then for him to do nothing about it because you trusted him enough to tell him.
Right.
And for him to do nothing about it.
And he let you down.
Yeah.
Joe Paterno let the Penn State, those involved, those victims down.
Yep.
They were not football players, but they were young people that he let down. And Bo Schembechler apparently let down his own family, his own football players in this situation.
There was a kid of one of the coaches that this happened to, I think. Maybe even Schembechler's son?
Might have been. That sounds correct, but I don't.
He even brought it up to his own dad and got it brushed away.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think
that's
he was correct.
Heartbreaking.
That you won't even listen to your own son.
Yeah.
So while we respect the coaching success, the records of people like a Joe Paterno, of a Bo Schembechler.
This was June of last year. Matt Schembechler said he was assaulted by Anderson when he was 10.
Ugh.
Within a year of when his adopted father, Bo, was hired, Matt said, you know, this thing happened. And he shared those details with Bo. The coach told him he didn't want to hear about it and then got physically violent with both Matt and his mother. That was the first time he closed fist punched me.
You won't protect your football family. You won't protect your actual family.
Mm-hmm.
I just... Yeah, like I said, the objective of this conversation is not to tear down these legendary coaches. But let's not put
some of them have done it on their own.
But let's not put them on pedestals. You're exactly right. Their behavior, their lack of action, or in this case, physically responding with anger and violence over his stepson being violated by somebody. And that action should have been turned toward Dr. Anderson.
The doctor.
Should have went there. I'll be back in a little bit.
Yeah.
I went there and just kicked the snot out of the guy.
Gather up some bail money.
But no, he turns it on his son because that was more beneficial for Bo Schembechler to do that. Because he can't get Anderson, get sideways with him. Probably needed him to do him a favor.
Mm-hmm.
The quid pro quo that I talked about. All right, 8:42. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. But first, though, time to play the Pile's favorite game on a Thursday, which is...
In the last 10 years, 31 teams have made the NFL playoffs. In the last 5 years, 30 different teams have made it. I played for both teams with the two longest current droughts. And notably, I was unable to employ anyone who could work a fax machine. Who is it?
All right.
First correct answer gets A delicious case of New Belgium from High Country Beverage.
All right, so if you won the last 2 weeks, you have to set it out. Must be 21, by the way. First correct answer wins today. Text in on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. Four down territory coming up next on the Jim Davis Show.
I'm a big sports addict.
I like sports.
Sports.
This is the Jim Davis Show on the Team. 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction. 102.1 FM, Delta Montrose.
All right, welcome back. 847. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy.
So as it turns out,
okay.
I'm not very bright.
Ah, shuck.
I was under the impression that it was my current answer couldn't work the fax machine, when in fact it was Elvis Dumervil. There's three people on the text line who got the right name for that, but not the person I'm looking for. So I'm going to take that back. I'm going to give you the clues again, because the other three still apply. It's not Elvis Dumervil, because I screwed that up. So in the last 10 years, 31 teams have made the NFL playoffs out of 32. In the last 5 years, 30 different teams have made the playoffs except for two teams. I played for both of those teams with the two longest current playoff droughts. I did win two Super Bowls with one of them. And it is not Elvis Dumervil. That is my bad.
Fax machine debacle was Dumervil.
Fax machine debacle was Dumervil.
I'm a dumbass.
The research debacle was me.
I'm a dumbass.
Hasn't happened in a while.
Hasn't happened in a while. I usually, most of my screw-ups off-air, very solid. So this one was, you know, not really looking it up. 6:30 is really early. Usually have these done earlier in the week, but with the holiday, you know. So anyway, 31 teams have made the playoffs in the last 10 years. 30 have made it in the last 5 years. I have played for both teams with the two longest current droughts, winning two Super Bowls with one of those teams.
All right. So first correct answer today on the text line, 970-242-1340, win a case of New Belgium beer from High Country Beverage. Must be 21, by the way.
Even believe Elvis Dumervil and this particular player were... Actually, they were not teammates, as I take that back. Yep.
Okay.
So, my bad.
So first correct answer wins today. Text in Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340 to play. Win! All right. Time for...
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
All right. The reports continue. The rumors continue to circulate around Jim Harbaugh about the possibility he will return to the NFL, and it'll be in the AFC West, coaching the Las Vegas Raiders, according to Bruce Feldman of The Athletic, that if the Harbaugh might possibly accept the Raiders' job if it is offered to him. There's a relationship with Mark Davis and Harbaugh, and so Bruce Feldman is now saying that the reports are, the information he's getting, Raiders come calling, that he would take the job. Rich Biasacci was the interim coach, was interviewed yesterday for the job. A lot of Raiders are clearly supporting Biasacci to become the head coach. We'll see what happens, though. Do you think we'll see Jim Harbaugh coaching in the AFC West?
Yes. AFC West, not going to guarantee that. But back in the NFL, yes.
Okay.
Because it's a rare thing when I agree with Mike Florio, but... there's the brother aspect. My brother has my ring, and I don't have a ring with Jim and John Harbaugh. I think that is as much a part of him wanting to get back into the NFL as anything.
Because it's not money.
He's got plenty of money.
He's had his greatest success as Michigan's coach, got them to the college football playoffs.
His brother's got a wedding ring and a Super Bowl ring, while he's just got a wedding ring.
All right, second down. Look, there's a lot of talk that Frank Vogel might get fired by the Lakers. But if he does, he delivered quite a little bomb when he benched Russell Westbrook at the end of the game the other night when they lost to Indiana last night, 111-104. Vogel was asked why Russell Westbrook finished the game on the bench. Vogel replied, He was playing the guys I thought were going to win the game. What does that say about Russ? At least in Vogel's opinion, doesn't say much, right?
It says the truth. He's not helping. Third down.
He's going to get fired.
He's going to get fired, and he shouldn't. He should be in the realm of coach of the year because he is making salad with this chicken, you know what, roster.
That's making chicken salad or chicken caca.
Yeah. I feel bad for Frank Vogel, but if I'm him, I'm just like, you know what? Put me out of my misery.
Fine.
If it's a game-by-game basis, just fire me now because you're going to anyway.
Take me out of my misery.
Right. Let me get a jump start on next year. Third down, Jim Nantz is going to be on the call of the Farmers Insurance Open, which is moved Wednesday through Saturday to not go up against, you know, AFC Championship game. He's going to call it for CBS from the site of the AFC Championship game.
Oh.
On Friday and Saturday of that week. He doesn't know where it's going to be because it could be Nashville, Buffalo, Kansas City. If it's at Nashville, he gets to be at home because he has a home in Nashville. But he's going to get to the site of wherever it is Wednesday before and then do Friday, Saturday on the call for CBS. Why can't Joe Buck do that for World Series in NFL?
I know. Maybe Fox will start saying that, hey, wait a minute, Joe. Look what Nance is doing. Mm-hmm. You could do both. We could make it work.
Absolutely.
Well, that's what one of the few things about 2020 that maybe is a positive is the ability to call games remotely.
We've done games remotely.
Yes, we have.
I mean, you know, we don't have quite the setup that Jim Nance is going to have, but it's good in a pinch. And for fourth down, I've got bad news for your NFL ratings are down, people. 41 million people watched the Niners beat the Cowboys, NFL's most watched wildcard game in 7 years.
Once again,
they're doing all right.
The demise of the NFL by those of the last couple of years, dead wrong.
Yeah.
And even then they were dead wrong.
Right.
It's the beginning of the end. No, it's not.
About 13% of the entire population of the country watched the same thing on television. That's
Thanksgiving ratings were through the roof.
Yeah.
But the vast majority of network live programming, was like 75% of it was the NFL. So, yeah, so much for nobody watching the NFL anymore.
We're still taking guesses for who is it. We have a couple good guesses. Steve Atwater, right vein, wrong player. Joe Flacco fits the bill, but he did not win two Super Bowls.
Just the one.
Shannon Sharp doesn't fit the bill because he didn't play for both teams. He played for one of the teams that I'm looking for. Again, in the last 5 years, 30 teams have made the playoffs. Two haven't. I played for both teams with the two longest current droughts, winning two Super Bowls.
All right, so first correct answer, you win a case of New Belgium beer from a High Country Beverage. Text in now, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340. Next hour, had the chance to talk with former Mesa State baseball coach Byron Wiehe. He'll be going into the Colorado Baseball Dugout Club Hall of Fame this weekend. Had a really good conversation, went back in Maverick baseball history talking with him. We'll have that coming up at the top of next hour. Plus, this day in sports history, garbage time as well, coming up next hour on the program. So text in 970-242-1340. And a quick reminder, by the way, programming note tonight, the Avalanche LA Kings on the team with Connor McGahee. Our coverage starts tonight at 7 o'clock for that.